You know how sometimes you hear about a court case and you're like, wait, that's legal? Well, this is one of those cases. We're going deep on Arkansas v. Sullivan, a Supreme Court decision that really digs into police power and the Fourth Amendment. We've got some great legal documents and analyses here, so let's break it all down and see what it means, especially for folks like you working in the legal world.
Yeah, this case really gets at a tricky issue. Pretextual arrests. It's where an officer might use some small offense, like a traffic violation or something, as justification to look into something much bigger. The big question is, can an officer's real motive actually invalidate an arrest, even if it all looks legal on paper?
Okay, so paint a picture for us. Where does this all begin?
So picture this: Conway, Arkansas, back in 1998. We've got Officer Joe Taylor. He pulls over Kenneth Sullivan for speeding, and a tinted windshield was, pretty routine stuff, right?
Sounds pretty normal so far. So then what happens?
Well, it turns out Officer Taylor had some prior information suggesting Sullivan might be involved with drugs. And this little detail becomes a huge factor in how this case plays out.
Okay, this is where things start to get interesting. So Sullivan goes to grab his registration, opens his car door, and bam! Officer Taylor spots a rusty old roofing hatchet just sitting there on the floorboard. Now, Taylor's got reason to arrest him not just for the traffic stuff, but for carrying a weapon, too.
Right. And after an arrest, standard procedure is often to do what's called an inventory search of the vehicle. And that's where things take another turn. Officer Taylor finds methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia, which leads to serious drug charges against Sullivan.
Now, someone listening might be thinking, well, they found drugs, what's the problem? But the trial court saw it differently. They thought this whole thing seemed off like a classic example of a pretextual arrest. They tossed out all the evidence, and the Arkansas Supreme Court actually agreed.
Yeah, and get this, they even argued that they could interpret the U.S. Constitution, more broadly than the Supreme Court, basically offering more protections under the Fourth Amendment. Pretty bold move.
So Arkansas basically throws down the gauntlet, huh? What did the Supreme Court have to say about that?
Not so fast, says Scotius. They shut that idea down pretty quickly, citing two major precedents to back up their decision.
Okay, you're gonna have to jog my memory on those. Which precedents are we talking about?
All right, so the first one is Wan v. United States from 1996. It basically established this idea that if an officer has a legitimate reason for a stop, like a traffic violation, then their subjective intentions or ulterior motives don't matter that much. So even if Officer Taylor was hoping to find drugs, the initial stop was still okay.
Interesting. And what was that second precedent?
That would be Atwater v. Lago Vista, a 2001 case. This one confirmed that an arrest is legal even for super minor offenses, those things that are just a fine. Basically, it reinforces that the severity of the initial offense doesn't really affect whether an arrest is legal or not.
So if you put those two cases together, it seems like the Supreme Court's saying, look, the officer had a valid reason to pull Sullivan over, even if he suspected there might be drugs involved.
Yeah.
And that doesn't automatically mean the arrest or the evidence is no good.
Exactly. They were upholding something that's often called the could-have test. If the officer could have made the arrest legally based on probable cause, in this case, the traffic violations, then their actual motivation isn't really that important under the Fourth Amendment.
So it sounds like this gives law enforcement a lot of power to use minor violations as a way to start bigger investigations.
Right. And while the Arkansas Supreme Court saw this as a potential fishing expedition by the police, the Supreme Court ultimately disagreed. They said the arrest was legit based on the probable cause from those traffic stops, which meant the drug evidence was admissible in court. But, it wasn't a total slam dunk decision. Justice Ginsburg actually had some pretty strong feelings about it all.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Justice Ginsburg's concurrence. I mean, she agreed with the final outcome, but she also raised some pretty serious concerns.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What's interesting is that even though she agreed with the decision, Justice Ginsburg was worried that this ruling could lead to a lot of unnecessary arrests, especially targeting certain communities.
Wow. So even though she agreed with the legal logic, she saw a real danger in how this could play out in the real world. And that's especially relevant given all the conversations we're having today about bias in policing.
Oh, absolutely. It wasn't just some abstract worry. I mean, we've seen real cases where minor traffic stops have been used as a way to target certain people based on race or ethnicity.
It's definitely something to think about. But didn't the Supreme Court acknowledge this possibility of misuse?
Yeah, they did. I mean, the court recognized that there was a risk, but ultimately they decided that the risk wasn't big enough to overturn this no pretext rule. They basically said that the vast majority of police officers are doing the right thing, and safeguards like probable cause and the exclusionary rule would prevent it from being abused all over the place.
So they were aware of the potential for problems, but thought the current legal system had enough protection built in.
Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of safeguards, the exclusionary rule, could you maybe give our listeners a quick example of how that works, just in case anyone needs a refresher?
Sure thing. So let's say the police do an illegal search of somebody's house and they find drugs. Well, because the search violated the Fourth Amendment, the exclusionary rule would probably keep those drugs from being used as evidence against that person in court. It's a way to basically discourage the police from doing illegal stuff.
Thanks for clearing that up. It's so important for everyone to understand those core legal concepts, especially people working in the justice system. But getting back to Arkansas v. Sullivan, even with those safeguards, didn't Justice Ginsburg argue that pretextual stops can be really hard to fight against?
Exactly. That was one of her most important points. Even if you say that most officers are trying to do the right thing, if an officer really wants to find something, they can usually figure out a way to justify a stop or a search, even if the reason is kind of weak.
Which I guess would make it super difficult to prove that there was bias or prejudice involved. Like, how could you ever show what the officer was really thinking?
It's really tough. And that's the danger with these pretextual stops and arrests, right? There's this ambiguity that makes it hard to fight them in court, even if you think there might be discrimination going on.
Which makes Justice Ginsburg's warnings even more important. It's not just a theoretical thing. It's about real obstacles that people face when they're trying to use their Fourth Amendment rights.
Yeah, for sure. And this case also highlights how important state courts and legislatures are in protecting individual rights. Remember, states can't give people more rights under the federal constitution than the Supreme Court allows.
Right, but they can interpret their own state constitutions differently. And they can also make laws that give people in their state more protection.
Exactly. So even though the Supreme Court basically set a pretty low bar when it comes to pretextual arrests, states have the power to push back and set stricter rules within their own borders.
That's a really good point. Arkansas v. Sullivan might have given law enforcement more power at the federal level, but that doesn't mean states can't do anything about it.
Definitely not. And we've seen some states actually do that. Like Washington State has a tougher standard for searches without a warrant. And other states have passed laws that directly address racial profiling by police. It just goes to show that the fight for civil liberties happens on a lot of different fronts, and it involves courts, lawmakers, and the public speaking out.
It really makes you appreciate how dynamic the legal system is. This fight for individual rights is going on all the time in so many different places. It's crucial for everyone to stay informed, especially those of us working in law.
Absolutely. This case, even though it was decided more than 20 years ago, is still super relevant today. It really highlights those big questions about power, fairness, and accountability in our justice system. Questions that never really go away.
It's pretty amazing how one case like Arkansas v. Sullivan can lead to so many different discussions. On the one hand, there's the argument that this no pretext rule is super important for law enforcement to work effectively.
Right, the idea that it gives officers the flexibility they need to keep communities safe. People who support this view say that if officers had to prove what they were really thinking every time they stopped someone, it would make it way harder for them to do their jobs.
And then on the other side, you have people who say this rule gives law enforcement too much power and could lead to discrimination. And they point to studies showing that people of color are way more likely to be stopped and searched by police, even when you take into account things like crime rates.
It's definitely a complicated issue with good arguments on both sides. It really makes you think about the balance between effective policing and protecting individual liberties.
Yeah, no doubt. Arkansas v. Sullivan is a powerful reminder that the law is always changing, and it requires us to keep talking about it and debating it. It's not about finding the easy answers, but more about wrestling with these tough questions and trying to make our legal system more just and equitable.
Welcome back to our deep dive on Arkansas v. Sullivan. You know, we've talked about a lot that initial traffic stop, what happened afterward, how the Supreme Court decided, and even Justice Ginsburg's dissent. But I'm thinking about how technology makes all of this even more complicated.
Yeah, that's a big piece of the puzzle. I mean, we can't talk about this legal stuff without thinking about how it plays out in the real world, and technology has a huge impact there.
Exactly. I mean, think about things like facial recognition software, predictive policing algorithms, all that stuff. Those tools can be helpful for law enforcement, but I also wonder if they could make those problems with pretextual stops even worse.
Yeah, it's a real concern. What if a facial recognition system gets it wrong and identifies someone as a suspect, leading to a stop that never should have happened? Or what about those algorithms that use old crime data to predict where crimes might happen? I mean, they could easily just keep reinforcing biases and lead to certain communities being overpoliced.
It's like technology could just make the problems that Justice Ginsburg was worried about even bigger. We could be talking about more inequality and less freedom if we're not careful about how we use this technology.
You're absolutely right. It's a perfect example of how technology often moves faster than the laws and ethics that are supposed to control it. We have to figure out how to use these powerful tools in a way that respects people's rights and is fair to everyone.
Yeah, it's a challenge that needs everyone involved, legal experts, policymakers, people who create technology, law enforcement, and advocates for civil liberties. We all need to work together to make sure this technology is used the right way.
Definitely. We can't just assume that technology will automatically lead to a better society. We need to be proactive and make sure it's used to improve public safety without sacrificing our basic freedoms.
So what's the takeaway from all of this? Even though Arkansas v. Sullivan was decided back in 1998, it's still incredibly important today. It reminds us that there's this constant struggle between effective law enforcement and protecting people's rights, and technology is making that struggle even harder.
It's a case that everyone should know about, especially people in the legal field. It forces us to ask those big questions about the Fourth Amendment, police power, and how we achieve justice in a world that's always changing.
Really well said. And to everyone listening out there, remember that knowledge is power. Understanding how the law works can help you navigate the legal system, stand up for your rights, and help create a more just and fair society for everyone. Until next time, stay informed, stay engaged, and keep thinking critically about the world around you.